jumping right into buttholes.
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, an LGBT podcast streaming live on digital stream radio, where you can listen live every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you can do so by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. Today, we are joined once again by the incredible Dr. Evan Goldstein of Bespoke Surgical for this month's Tales from the Tale. This month's topic is cyber love. My name is Tom, and I'm your host, and as always, I'm here, starting with our guest host.
Hi, it's Elsie, y'all.
And
Hi, Nick or Trish.
And welcome you all to
The Dish.
Oh my God.
So I almost said good to be with you guys. It's Chris. I don't know why.
Because we miss him.
I know
we do. He'll be back. And but yeah, Zanzibar. That's all I keep hearing in my head now. Thanks, Nick.
Sorry, Dr. G. So good to see you.
Oh, Lord have mercy. So we are changing things up again. You know, we got Dr. G with us, so we're going to jump into
Zanzibar?
Tales from the Tale. Zanzibar, yeah. Oh, okay. First, and then during the second half of the show, we'll bring you the dish and go over some of the hot topics that are going on in today's world. And so all that is left to say is welcome back, Dr. G.
Thanks so much.
So it's wonderful to have you with us early at 6 p.m. And today's topic is going to be cyber love. So can you tee us up here and let us jump into this interesting conversation?
Wait, first, before we jump into that, personally, were you abroad recently? I feel I saw your story on Instagram this weekend, and you guys, I thought you were in Australia or something.
No.
Oh, maybe it wasn't you.
She needs to stop, like,
waking up, like,
cyber stalking people.
Well, I was going to DM him and see what I could get, but anyway, so let's talk about this.
What would you want?
I mean, depends on if you're open or not, which we can talk about a little later.
And do you have a friend?
I mean, honestly, I would want everything. Let's just lay it out there. Dr. G, if you weren't married, I would be barking up that tree.
She's minced.
Well, I'm not married.
That's right. I'm sorry. But you're basically, I mean, like you have kids.
I don't know. What does that mean? Your kids, you're done?
No, you're committed.
And this is why I'm going to die alone, because men. I mean, I live with a guy and we have kids, but like.
That doesn't mean shit. It doesn't.
Apparently.
So, a couple of things. I thought that this was really, really interesting because it's definitely happened to many people, but also even me at times. I think it's the alternate universe that we live in of social media allows you a lot of really great liberties because you're kind of filtered through the cyberspace. You're able to be quite open and honest, literally. But also, you know, it paints a picture of your kind of ideal person, and that may not necessarily be who is actually on the other side of this.
It's interesting that you say that, right? Because, you know, when you think of, is it pseudonyms, right? It's like
pseudonyms?
Being able to have like a whole different persona and name. Like nobody really knows what your real name is. Like you are at something crazy, right? Kid, right? And so you are literally like falling in love with at crazy kid at, you know, on Instagram.
Been there, done that.
Yeah. I think all of us have. So I mean, this was interesting because I took a quote from Spike Jonze's Her, the movie Her, which is so amazing. And it's just, you know, it's falling in love is kind of like a form of socially acceptable insanity, mm-hmm. which is 100% true. I mean, I think a client really made love with a young man through DM on social media. So it wound up just being kind of, you know, really, really through private chat and, you know, FaceTime or whatnot, really able to kind of connect. And then for days after, he really got off to him, and the I don't know if it's necessarily got off to him, but more of the perception of him, or that potential reality of him. And it just really got me thinking, kind of, is there any harm in this virtual play? And do people feel like engaging in this way is, you know, is cheating or micro cheating if you're in relationships? And it kind of really talked about how this person even really molded their perfect boyfriend, and kind of the grass is greener on the other side. Mm-hmm. And it really started emotionally becoming such an impact on your own real relationships that it wound up kind of looking at truth and deceptions and all the repercussions as it's associated with this to say, is this truly, truly, really sustainable and healthy? Specifically because so many people do live in this digital world. I'll tell you a crazy story. So my son Sebastian was playing Minecraft. I don't know if you guys are familiar with this game, but basically you build your own worlds and then you try to kill everybody and everybody tries to kill you. All right. But I don't let him kill people. I just let him build the worlds. But one time he's playing the game and he pees himself literally in real life while he's playing the game. And I said to him, dude, you're almost 9 years old. What's the deal? He's like, I went to the bathroom in the digital world.
Oh, and no.
It's so fucked up. Like, when you think of, like, an eight-year-old, the mentality of, like, well, my character went to the bathroom. And he did. He went to the bathroom, but he peed himself. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
It's like you, when you dream that you need to use it. Whenever you're dreaming of that you need to either take a piss or a shit, don't. Do it in your dream because you're going to wake up and you're going to be either wet.
I shit my fucking self. I don't know. You did?
I have never done it.
Right.
In my dream.
All right.
So, in my dream.
So, taking it a little further since this is gay talk, I have several times dreamed that I was having sex and came.
That happens to boys a lot.
I've never come, but I will like pre-cum or like get super, super hard and like want to get there, but you're able to fully come.
Oh, yeah. Like 100%. Like, uh-huh. And I wake up and I grab it and I'm like, no, it's going. And it's, you know,
really?
Spewing everywhere. Yeah. Actually, funny story since we're on the topic. So funny story since we're on the topic of me coming while I'm sleeping. When I went through this phase where I would whenever I stayed at my friends' places, I would come. I would fall asleep and I would have a wet dream. And it always
Your friend was totally touching you in your sleep.
Oh, no, we slept together for years. But,
no, but yeah, you get that
like,
you know,
mentality,
that
like, this is going to happen tonight, right? And so, like, it would always happen when I was sleeping on, like, the couch in the living room. And I would have to get up and be like, fuck, what am I going to do?
Was this a mess?
No, this was not a mess.
Okay.
Okay.
But it was a mess,
going
clearly.
Going back to now. This was all, it's interesting. Dreams and digital world. First of all, do you guys think it's cheating if you're getting off with someone digitally?
Yes.
Look
at
him.
He's answering he's asking the questions now.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. If you are in a committed relationship, if you're in an open relationship, then I would assume that any interaction that you have with anyone is acceptable because you've already had that conversation with your partner.
Right. So essentially anything that makes your partner feel insecure about your relationship is cheating.
Yeah.
But you should have those conversations as to what that constitutes for
but
them.
I also think it's a different level, right? It's not physical cheating.
It's worse.
It's emotional. Yeah.
Yes.
You're
worse.
Looking for something outside of your relationship.
Yes.
So yes, I think it's cheating, but I also think it's like this different weird concept of what infidelity is.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. And I mean, I think I guess the other thing is, do you guys feel like the construct of that digital person is your own internalized, like, ideal mate?
Potentially.
It could be.
Which I mean, where it would make your partner potentially feel uncomfortable because it's like, what is it that you're seeking that I'm not giving you? Because you know how much it takes for you to realize that you're into someone you've never shared spaces with?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you motherfuckers have been talking about all this crap that led you to actually get hard for each other. Yeah. What are you talking about?
But there's also
why are you talking about it with me?
Hold on. What if it's something that your partner, you're just saying that if it's something that your partner can't provide for you, as long as you're having the discussions to say, hey, look, I want to explore. First of all, I think it's fucking hot. Cyber love for me, I think it's super, super hot.
Yeah, I agree.
I think it's super hot.
Because the beauty of it is you could be anything you want.
You could be anything you want.
And there's this safety and separation. Like, to be honest with you, like, I've had plenty of, like, quasi, like, moments on social media, some of which have gotten me in trouble, but we don't need to walk down that road.
Fucking
Steve's, man. But like, the reality is, it's like, you can share this, like, this dialogue and this exchange with this other person and literally enjoy a sexual experience with the safety of, I never have to meet this person. I never have to, like, experience them in real life. There's no real commitment behind this. I know that at the end of the day, when I decide that I put my phone down, it's over. You know what I mean?
Not for me.
But then there's this other...
Cyber... Yeah. Okay. Go on. Go on.
I just pumped the brakes because you just told me you had a cyber lesbian experience. And then let's explore this. Look at this. Dr. G is like,
we're waiting. Ta-da.
So what happened was.
They always come out.
No, but yes, it's been my one and only experience, actually, and it was with a girl. And then I was a total asshole and did not reciprocate, which is totally terrible for me to have done that. But it was like a good time, and then I was like, eh. In real life, like I feel about it the same where when I've had women express sexual interest toward me, I'll tell them, you know, pleasure is pleasure, but I know for a fact that I won't reciprocate because I'm not attracted to the female form anatomy in that way. And I know this because I don't think that that's a big deal. I don't think that it's, oh my gosh, she's a lesbian. No, it's sex, right? Between humans. And so I know for a fact that I'm not into girls. And I'm like, if I close my eyes and she knows what she's doing. But it will take way too much involvement on my end to reciprocate. And I'm like, it just wouldn't be fair.
Right. So
it's not you, it's me.
That actually brings up a really interesting point, and I think Dr. G can talk to it a little bit about the psychological element of it all, right? So when it comes to some people, and I've been a victim of it, where you sort of like commit to this like online relationship, and there's almost like a grieving when the person ghosts you or whatnot. And I think that's something that we should talk about a little bit more. I mean, I don't know about this individual here, but you were saying that he was checking his DM, like, do I have one more message? What's, you know, like just constantly waiting for that, like that person or that relationship to continue. But then when they ghost you, what does that mean? Are you grieving it just like you would grieve another relationship?
Yeah. I mean, I think it hopefully allows you to look internal at your own self to figure out, hey, where am I with my current relationships? Are there certain things that I'm looking for that I'm not getting? And also, how do you use kind of cyber love or digital world and keep it somewhat kind of a bay so that you don't get emotionally or psychologically involved? But I think the reality is that there are plenty of people that can just go around and stick their dick in whatever and they don't care. But there are so many people that need some emotional connectivity before they do that.
I need physical.
That's a detriment, too, because you become so emotionally vested even before you come in them they come in you. And then it becomes this psychological thriller ride that you're like, all right, fuck it. I'm not even going to do it because I'm just going to be disappointed.
Yeah.
Stop telling other people the things that I tell you in confidence.
Like, I have, like, for example, I had not too long ago commented on someone's post, and we were having an in-depth conversation about someone lost someone, and this person on this person's post was all over my stuff, like, oh my God, you guys know each other, and then he started sending me private messages, and before we knew it, we were exchanging cock pics, and then a week later, he was in my house, and we sort of kind of, you know, did the whole
thing
and then that was it. So going into that, like, I have this whole, like, going back and having this sexual sort of kind of, like, exchange of photos and of, like, watching each other on video sort of kind of have this allure. And then we got together and it was good, but it wasn't great. And then I was just like, okay. I'm okay if I don't call you anymore with it. Like, I can live with that. I can be the evil person in this. I can take on that role, right? And then that's basically what happened. I mean, it was good. It was good when it was good, but it was just like, okay, well, it's not that good. Like, I'm not going to marry you. You're not going to, like, move into my house and do all that crazy stuff. But, you know, thank you. Thank you for that moment.
Thank you for sharing it with our world. I mean, I think that, you know, you're right. I think, you know, it's like always, you don't want to necessarily meet your idol because you'll probably be disappointed 9 times out of 10, you know, and the concoctions, you know, the concoctions of what that is in your world. But I think that, I don't know, man, I think the cyber world is just so super interesting. And I get, like, you know, DMs and stuff, and I get some crazy fucking people, man. I mean, and some people that I'm like, send me more.
That's definitely not Nick.
What do you mean?
I actually just DM'd him, but
absolutely. Nick sends me some stuff every once in a while.
Oh.
Okay, so fine, we're out. Me and Dr. G have a thing. God. Oh, God, everybody knows now.
I knew it before then.
I went to see him for a sponsorship opportunity.
I just think it's probably his affection for your meat minced hole.
That's... He keeps trying to fix it, but then he fucks it up again. All right, we need to move on.
All right, stop. Okay, focus.
I just thought this was true.
We asked our Instagram family if they considered sexting cheating and or digital play, and 63% said yes, it was. And almost, you know, obviously the difference, 40% did not think that this interaction was cheating. But I do think it just raises a lot of interesting points that, you know, if you're emotional with your connections in real life, you're probably going to be emotional with your connections online. And you want to set this groundwork and the stages to make sure that you're not getting hurt by the situation. Sometimes you even need to kind of unfollow people, especially because you start to see people's worlds and all of it's fucking fake. I mean, it's all fabricated and it's what it is. And so it's just making sure that you kind of mold what you want into it and not get hurt, because it doesn't necessarily need to be a physical hurt, that it could be obviously an emotional issue as it relates to that. And then also, you know, you're obviously also showing a tremendous amount of yourself, literally, and you just need to be careful when you're doing that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that another way to look at this too is, like, for example, if you're a single person and you're engaging in cyber sex, it is one of the safest sexes, you know,
from an STD perspective.
From an STD perspective, it is extremely safe to be able to share yourself with someone without having physical contact. And so if you're experiencing this and you're truly enjoying your opportunity to be able to share with other humans all over the world, right? Because you can pick from any country, you know? You want someone in South Africa, go for it. If you want someone in the Middle East, go for it. If you want someone, if you want beautiful uncut penises in Britain, go for it. And so you just...
There's a lot of uncut penis everywhere.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm just saying, you know, there's plenty out there for anyone. There's something for everyone, I always say. But this could have a lot of positive things behind it as well, because, again, you know, you're really experiencing safe sex. You're not exposing yourself to the possibility of contracting an STD when you're putting yourself out there in the physical world.
So... You're right, 100%, but there's this other element that I think we really need to people should be aware of, because a lot of probably younger individuals are attempting this type of interaction online, right? So when you're actually interacting, don't fucking share your face with somebody. Like, if you're having, like, a sexual back and forth interaction, don't give them the opportunity to screenshot or share whatever you're sharing with them with the world that could screw things up for you.
Can you imagine how shameful?
No face, no case.
Exactly. Can you imagine how shameful it would have been if Pete Buttigieg had a video out there of him, you know, doing his business all over the place? It would have been pretty crazy, you know. And but you're right, you know. And so I keep thinking about this whole thing. Poor guy. I'm sorry if you're watching that I never called you again. But you know, it happens.
Oh my god, you ghosted him? That's disgusting.
I did not ghost. I just simply didn't respond to messages.
I mean, it's just like, dude, just end it. Just be like, hey, right, you know, like, it wasn't where. Like, I mean, we have grow fucking set of balls.
Oh my god, so
adult.
Okay, so I'm going to give everybody the perfect way to end it. If you need to end it without ghosting somebody, all right, this is the perfect way to do it.
Please don't say just be a dick.
No, I recently did this. I was talking to somebody for a while. Well, by a while, I mean a couple weeks, maybe 2 weeks. Very interested, great conversations, great dick pics, you know, whatever. And then all of a sudden, I was like, something happened in the conversation. I was like, this is a very big turnoff and a huge red flag for me. So I need to end this. And so what I did was I waited a day. And then after the day, I said, hey, I just want to let you know that you're great. I wish the best for you. But somebody that I've been seeing, we decided to make it official and I need to move forward with that.
But that's lying.
It's lying, but it's a white lie.
So,
you can't just be like, dude, I thought one thing. It turned out to be another.
And you're a dick.
I'm fucking done, bro.
Jeez. And it's you. No. It's definitely
I'm too compassionate. I'm too compassionate.
So I was trying not to put everything out there, but I will tell you why I ghosted. There's a reason why. So
He's upset. You're upset right now.
I am. I'm distraught a little bit because when we finally met and had sex, he confessed the following day that he had to go to church and repent. I was like, I'm done.
Oh, well, that's a little bit of a different situation. You don't need that bag.
I'm like, how can you sit here and come all over my face and then go ask for forgiveness? It felt good, didn't it?
But wait, was it because it was premarital?
It wasn't because it was premarital, because
his penis was in your butt. Because it matters. Maybe he's a Christian and he doesn't believe in premarital sex.
Well, not necessarily that. It was just the fact that I think that he had sex with another man. And I don't know whether or not I was his first experience. I'm sorry. But
actually, he's not.
He's not sorry. But that's a whole different setup.
And I was just like, yeah, no, I'm done. I can't deal with this. I'm very uncomfortable with religion to begin with.
But wait, did he explain what he was repenting? Because this is important. I have so many questions.
The sex.
Tell me what his words were.
He sent
a
message.
Give me his number. I have questions.
No. He sent a message and he said, you know, I know that what we did yesterday and we did what we did, but I had to go to church and ask for forgiveness. And I'm like,
and you didn't ask why?
No, I don't ask questions when it comes to religion.
You just didn't respond.
I didn't have to. I got the picture. I'm like, every time this man comes on my face, he's either going to get down on his knees and start praying or he's just going to run out of my house. And I was just like, I can't deal with this.
But you could also be someone that potentially would say, hey, look, let's understand why you need to repent. Why do you have so much internalized homophobia? How do we look at you and show you that this is beautiful? And two
you
men
could
together,
have been that man's light and you missed it.
Oh, no.
You decided it was just too much work, so just ghost.
Yeah, I'll just sit here and just, you know.
No, you should have told him how stupid he sounded and said to him, that's super dumb, and so let's not hang out anymore.
And crush his dream that God is going to come down and be like,
yes.
Oh, please.
That God is not coming down.
So I just want to.
Not the way I did.
I want to go back to the story a little bit because this conversation is off the rails and I love it. But
I mean, we're talking about social stuff.
He got fucking cum on his face and that was that.
And the guy then put a cross across his forehead with the cum.
I got my facial.
In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy. Anyway, so tell me a little bit about this person, this patient of yours. So where is he at now? Do you have any ideas of how this whole situation is going for him?
I think it was more of internalizing to look at what's healthy and what's not from your own persona, and trying to make sure that you create kind of limits and boundaries that it doesn't become kind of an emotional roller coaster. I think that it's what you want to make of it, but I don't think people talk about digital love in a way that we're talking now, where people can think of what's healthy for themselves. And it may just be dump and run, and that's perfect, and that's good for you. Or it may be like, wow. And especially for someone that's kind of in relationships where you do sometimes think that the grass is greener on the other side, or you do look at your own relationships and say, oh, am I in what I think is right, or what scenario am I in now? It does make you think. And the question is, you just got to have the appropriate conversations with yourself, or put yourself in a situation with others that you're able to truly understand why you're seeking these behaviors and making sure that they're as healthy as you possibly can. Even though the STD risk obviously is nil, it's more of the emotional psychosocial component to sex, specifically gay sex.
Did you direct this patient of yours to seek any other psychological like conversations?
Yeah, because I think you have to do the internal introspection on everything, looking at your own self, looking at your relationships, looking at what your ideals are, and then trying to figure out how do you just kind of mold it into an acceptable way, because it's fucking hot to get off online. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love it. I think it's fucking hot.
You know, so we've had this conversation before, and where people, for example, who like to watch porn a lot and jerk off to porn and sort of kind of fantasize about porn actors and things like that, that they're doing it so aggressively and all the time that
they
eventually
become desensitized.
Not necessarily desensitized, but when they go try to have that same kind of interaction with someone in front of them, that for whatever reason, they just go into this like emotional block and they can't connect with the human being, but they have no problem getting off watching somebody jack off on TV or in a computer.
I think it's, again, you're right. I think, first of all, porn makes everything look amazing. Sex is not always amazing. That's for sure. It's strange. It's weird. There are definitely times where you walk away like, oh, that fucking sucked, you know? But with that said, you're right. Digital love is very curated, and you're able to kind of really only see the good, the bad. You know, that was me. Sorry, I think I got a little beep in there. Maybe that's your. Maybe are you DMing me right now, Nick?
No, I DM'd you like a couple minutes ago.
I think I sent you something back.
Oh my God. There's so many questions here.
Oh Lord, well go for it.
It has to do with Nick and Dr. G. I don't know. Is your partner listening?
Okay. Lord have mercy. I'm responding.
Where were we? Oh, fuck. I don't remember.
We're talking about, you know, like, psychoanalyzing the fact that, you know, you can get off on cam, but you can't do it.
Oh, yes. And you're curating it. And that curation, you're right. There's plenty of people that I see from social media that are really, really great behind the camera, but in social situations, when you're trying to have a conversation with them, they don't look you in the face, they can't carry a conversation, and it winds up just being that they're so into their digital world that they're so removed from the real world. And I agree with you. I think that you have to have a fine balance with that specifically. And again, but it may be you're in a place where you're not out, or that you're in a country that it's not accepting, and this is a way that you can engage in your own skin, which I think could be wonderful and amazing. But I think it's having the narrative that there's good and there's bad, and how do you now make sure that you're setting yourself up for success and not being hurt? Because at the end of the day, whether it's physical, there's also that huge emotional piece that a lot of people, especially in the world, think that gay men can't have the emotional peace in anything.
But it's not because you're gay. I have this conversation with the guys all the time. It's not because you're gay. It's because you're a man, and men are socialized differently. And then you have two men who were raised as assholes. I mean, as maybe they did not like get enough hugs or whatever. And so, you know what I mean? Like, it has nothing to do with your sexuality. It has to do with the fact that little boys are socialized differently than little girls.
And your pricks.
But yeah.
I love
but
her.
You did have lesbian sex, cyber sex.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
But, so welcome to the club.
But little girls are socialized to be super like adorable and like affectionate to each other. So there.
Oh, I get it. Okay.
So I wasn't raised to be like that, but I did it anyway.
So, Dr. G, before we wrap up, this is an amazing story, and I think that it'll probably get a lot of traction because it is something that's very – it's almost something that everyone in today's day and age does. But before we wrap it up, a lot of hysteria around coronavirus. You're a doctor. Tell us what's real, what's fake.
Hysteria.
What can we do to safely manage the expectations of what people are thinking this is going to become?
I think definitely, obviously, wash your hands and watch all those videos so you understand the correct way to wash your hands. I think the reality is that yes, there's a 20-fold increased incidence of mortality with the coronavirus. But when you look at the coronavirus and people dying, most of them are elderly with multiple comorbidities. When you look at the flu is significantly more exposed to the world. There are a tremendous amount of deaths related to the flu. And it's very, very, very similar in terms of the fact that these people have comorbid conditions, they're older, they're not able to fight infection. I think the thing that scares me more is how many people are actually walking around and actually have it and don't know it, because most places don't have the kits to actually test for it. And so what winds up happening is most people don't die from this. It's basically just a viral infection that they get some symptoms from and then they clear it, but they think it's a common cold. And they don't seek attention, or they go seek attention and the people don't have the kits to actually test them to then figure out how to potentially quarantine themselves. I think the media is fucking crazy. And just like with all the politics, just with this, it's now because there's the digital age is so in your fingertips all the time. It's the hysteria that is creating, and it's going to just be interesting how these countries deal with it. But at the end of the day, you got to live your life. And I just hope that nothing, you know, there's going to be shutdowns. It's going to be a fucking nightmare. The people don't know how to handle it. And the world is crazy and people are crazy. So wash your hands and
stop listening to the news media. It's craziness.
Yeah, and go along for the ride. And if you feel sick, go get some help and kind of quarantine yourself and use cyber love to get yourself off.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
And come on your screens, you know?
I wouldn't have had it any other way. And if you want to come over and, you know, give me a facial, I'm okay with that too. I love those. Oh, those keep your skin amazing. A lot of people think I'm kidding.
Is Al that everybody here thinks he's hot? Like, is it?
Oh, yeah. No, everybody thinks Dr. G is hot.
Everybody knows Dr. G's hot. I can't wait until we start getting you on video back here.
I thought this was just something that we did through text while you're on screen.
No.
But I guess. Okay. All right. I'm in.
You guys are out of control. I hope this was a good topic to talk about. You know, it wasn't usually about our usual ass stuff, but I felt like it's something worth, because it does hit close to my hole, you know what I'm saying?
I feel you.
It hits close to his and certainly my face, so. You know, I think it's very important, right? We need to address some of the stuff that goes on online that people aren't aware that they could be experiencing, you know, the psychological effects of having these emotional conversations online. What is going on over here?
Is that me?
My conversation with Dr. G.
So
all I see is a big eggplant and a nice peach butt.
Okay, so who sent what?
So I'm thinking Dr. G sent the eggplant and you sent him your minced whole butt.
No, I sent him the peach emoji, you asshole. Anyway.
He likes fruit. I don't understand what's going on.
I also said please and thank you. At least I'm polite.
Catch up, Elsie. Catch up. Come on, girl. Come on. Get with the program.
But listen, I think the key for us is I want everybody that's listening to evaluate their own world from a cyber perspective. DM us also kind of topics to talk about. What are your questions? Things like that. That has to be with anal sex, with cyber sex, whatever it is. And gives us topics to talk about. But I can write on more so. And check us out on all the usual Insta, Medium, and all that jazz. Mm-hmm.
and all Twitter right. and Facebook and all the good places. And trust me when I tell you, you want to interact with Dr. G. He's just absolutely amazing.
Yeah, and hopefully my tale will come out soon. I got to come out and see you.
And when we prep his head like that, look,
he talks so much shit. He really does.
He cuts the head over and starts smiling.
This needs to happen, please.
Wait, me? I talk so much shit. What did I do?
It's what you don't do. Hello.
I know. I need an evaluation.
Some probing. All
right, I gotta go. I love you all.
Bye. Dr. G, thank you so much for joining us. Obviously, we'll see you again next month, and hopefully it'll be nice and warmer and longer days. Spring forward next week, next Saturday, so make sure that you guys remember that, and we'll see you next month.
All right, guys. Love you all. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
That is, of course, Dr. G. I love that man. He's just great. You know, I have never, ever in my life met a doctor that is just so open about talking about sexuality.
He's super casual and cool about it, yeah.
Dropping the F-bombs here and there. I find that super amazing. And it makes me want to have 20 of them. Yeah, like 20 of him all over the place.
I can see him being an incredible source of support for younger men, you know, who are struggling not just with the emotions involved with coming out or, you know, feeling like it's wrong that I'm into men, but also, you know, from a health perspective, mm-hmm. to be able to have an open, casual conversation with a medical provider about their anatomy.
Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what he's promoting. He has been promoting. We started our relationship with Dr. G about 2 years ago.
Yeah,
it's been a very long time.
Tell me about this relationship. How involved was it?
It was very involved. I mean, we talk about our holes. We've opened up our innards to Dr. G. Chris got fingered for the first time in his life. He became a bottom by Dr. G. Mm-hmm. And he's been bottoming ever since.
Really?
Yes.
Look at him, like, just broadening people's experiences.
He's an amazing doctor. And, you know, if you're in New York, if you're in L.A., or if you're in the vicinity of these two amazing cities, and you would like to schedule an appointment and have a consultation with the great doctor, he comes highly recommended. The man does good work, and he's really down to earth. And that's what we need in our medical system. We need really down to earth individuals that are open-minded and that can truly help you from a medical perspective and not be biased against who you decide to go to bed with or who you love.
Or DM.
All right, well, listen, we've got some new music, of course, from Davis Mallory, last week's guest. So we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we have some dish. Here we go.
Greeted by a new sunrise. Tomorrow's hopes are in my eyes. Paints horizons in the sky that's meant for me, meant for me. Ready now to face the day, done with fears of yesterday. Waited long enough to say I'm on the way, I'm on the way. I believe. Goodbye, like letting go of.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, from the break. That was Believe by Going Deeper, featuring Davis Mallory, of course. That was our guest last week. Some new music for all you folks. He's got a lot of new stuff that he just released, so make sure that you go check him out at davismallory.com. And we're back, and we're doing some dish, and we're doing a little bit of everything. Typically, we would talk about our weekends or our weeks, and so maybe we'll kick it off with that. So why don't we toss it over to the queen over here. How was your weekend?
It was actually really beautiful. It was really nice.
Do tell.
I did nothing.
Yes. End of story. No, I'm kidding.
No, it was really good. No, I had a friend reach out. And was like, it's Saturday night. What are you doing? I was like, nothing. And they were like, what's wrong with you? I was like, I just need to be alone. I just need my day. Like, I need a day. And it was actually really great. Like, I relaxed. I watched a movie. I did my laundry. I cleaned the kitchen. And it was like, it was just really good to not. I always have this like thing where I'm like, oh, I got to go out. I got to do this. I got to do that. And I just shut off. And it was great.
It's always good. Once in a blue moon to just sort of kind of let it all go. You know, I feel like I've been in that mood all month. Like February for me is a tough month.
Same.
Because it's one of the shortest months of the year, but it's also like, you know, you're at the height of winter and everything is cold and you're just like, oh God, I just really don't want to go out. Like I started this project of painting my bathroom. I've been at it for a month because I just have no ambition whatsoever to finish it. And I'll get there eventually and it'll happen, but it's just like, ooh.
No, I know. And like last week, like we've talked about it on the show, it was hard for me because it was 13 years that Matt passed away. That's last right. Thursday. And I had plans Thursday night. And I by the time it rolled around for me to like go out to dinner and do all this stuff, I was like, I'm not doing it. I can't do it. And I think that's probably what fed into my weekend of like, Nick, you need to do something for yourself and like be alone and just like relax. I think that's kind of what fed into it because I think, you know, every once in a while you hit those moments where you're like, okay, this was the time of the year that this happened or that happened. And you're always like, it's not that big of a deal. It's been 13 years. But
it is a big deal.
But then it is. And then you're like, okay, I need me time. And you take that time. And it literally made a world of difference. I slept so well all weekend and I didn't go out drinking and get it fucked up. Because, like,
she gave her liver a rest.
Pretty much.
And it's a much needed rest.
But, like, the thing is, it's like, you know, when his anniversary rolls around or when, like, bad shit rolls around, people will go out and get fucked up and then cry. And, like, what I did this time around was really, I just took care of myself and it was nice.
And that's important. It's important to be able to do that and at least have, you know, that time for yourself. I always say, you know, think about the times of the year that you get, you know, you start thinking about people that we've lost in our lives and schedule some time for yourself. Do something for yourself. Go get a massage, go get a pedicure, or do nothing at all. And just sit at home and watch comforting movies and eat comforting food and do anything that you need to do to survive. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, one of the saddest things about losing someone, especially the way, you know, Matt left us, is that we are left behind to pick up the pieces of our lives when people are lost in this way. Yeah. And so you just have to figure out a way, talk to someone, you know, grab a friend and say, hey, let's just come to the house and do nothing at all and just be, right?
Yeah, no, it was an interesting morning. I woke up to a text from his mother, and I love his mother to death. And then his aunt texted me, and we were going back and forth for a while. But then, you know who else texted me, which was really special?
Who?
Mama Kim.
Oh, I love her.
She took the time to just reach out and say, like, I'm thinking of you. I love you. And, like, that was really important to me. And thank you, Mama Kim. That was beautiful. And
we
I really appreciate
you, Mama
it.
Kim.
But you know what? Like, on a lighter note, some exciting news.
Yeah.
Some exciting news coming from the corner of Trish is she realized that she was a little too chunky and she got a personal trainer. And I start. On Wednesday.
I thought we were talking about Mama Kim.
Lighter news than that. She, like, started a whole business. Yay. But, yeah. I'm really excited. I'm like, forcing myself back to the gym. And like,
you have personal trainer money?
No.
No. She pays him in blowjobs.
I was going to say, do you pay him in meat?
Long story short, I have a membership at a gym. And I have a relationship with said company. And the company itself, I was like, I would love to, like, you know, have a personal trainer. I don't know if I can afford it. You know, I work for a nonprofit. And the guy that I met him at an event. He was like, don't worry about it. We'll figure it out. So I'm going to have a consultation and we'll figure it out. I think it's like, I'm already paying for the membership. I think it's like, another $20, depending on how much you... do, like, if it's like once a week or three times a week or whatever it is. But I need somebody to, like,
beat you into shape.
Yeah, I need somebody to get me back. Like, I used to be so fit and so pretty.
You're still pretty.
Well, you're beautiful.
Thank
you. Look at that hair. It makes me just want to touch it in, like, a sexual way.
Don't, because he gets so mad.
I feel like you should know that.
Okay, and I appreciate that. I'm glad you're on that side of the table. I love you, but not like that.
I'm just gonna look at it inappropriately.
But I think, like, after, like, a month or two of just, like, being able to, like, have somebody to, like, kind of, like, get me back on track, I'll be okay. I just need somebody to, you have to get past that hump of, like, going and, like, getting into a regimen and all that stuff. And so, like, I'm really excited about it. And so. He asked me what my goal was, and I said, all right, well, in 3 months, I want a dick in my ass. And he was just like, what?
Okay.
Let's figure out some
we can do that for you.
Fitness plan.
We'll figure it out. We'll make your glutes nice and tight, and before you know, you'll be cracking nuts in no time.
So in 2 months, I'll be seeing Dr. G. In 3 months, I'll have a dick in my ass.
That's amazing. Will it be his, right? Elsie is on this kick that...
It needs to happen.
Oh, God.
It's not the case.
So...
I know we came out saying that we were in a relationship. We're not. There's nothing happening there. We're just good friends.
That was fun. That was for fun. That was for sure.
Elsie still thinks that...
Yeah, she's like, whatever.
There's like a secret love affair going on.
I get it.
They're like, these two homos are really trying to pull one on me, and I am not that easy.
How the hell do you think we've kept them on the show for 2 years? I'm just kidding.
That is right. It all makes sense. It all makes sense.
Lord have mercy. So why don't we kick it over to you, Miss Elsie, who's been so gracious to sit with us in Chris's absence, and you're so wonderful, and people love you, and all of the accolades that you're getting on Apple Podcasts. Please go and keep rating and reviewing and writing little love notes to Miss Elsie. Yeah, of course. So why don't you tell us, how was your week?
My whole week?
Your week, your weekend, whatever you want to share with us.
My weekend was nice. My girlfriend, who is newly engaged, came up with her beloved because he lives overseas and we hadn't had the opportunity to meet him. And then when we did meet, it was over my birthday. We were at my bar and we couldn't really talk, right? And
we're still waiting on the beer, by the way. But anyway, go ahead.
And then, so she came up and he's like into burgers. He's like in search of like the perfect burger. And I'm like, oh, tacos and burgers.
Meat.
Yes. So we ended up hitting up a really nice joint downtown. The space is amazing. And then we came home and did the whole dessert thing, and him and I got to talking about mental health.
Well, that's important.
And he totally psychoanalyzed me and then was kind of bummed out that I was like, yes, I know all these things about me. Like, what? All I do is introspect.
All right, so hold on. Give me a little bit more. Like, how did he psychoanalyze you?
Well, he... So everybody in my life is obsessed with my being single.
Well,
so I have the one girlfriend. I can't tell her. She's like, so what are you doing, Manu? I'm going to co-host my friend's show. Is he hot? Is he single? Is the other? I'm like, they're all into penis, just like me. It's what we bond over. Well, you need to stop hanging out with homos because they only have other homo friends and you're never going to end up with a partner.
That's not true.
I mean, whatever.
We love having, hello.
But that's her point. Her point is that I need to have friends who are single and have other single friends. They're all like obsessed about
it. I'm single.
And so, yeah, but then we're probably going to end up fighting over the same guy.
Not necessarily. We have different types, right? I think we do.
You can just share.
We could, you know.
I don't know. I don't know.
Like, why not?
I'm really opposed to that.
And then if I come over, there's blood on the walls.
Tom, you fucked him last night?
We can compare notes.
We agree that we all had to be there. None of us would do
You
anything.
Did not follow the schedule we set on the fridge. It's on the fridge.
It is on the fucking fridge.
I'm sorry. I swallowed accidentally. I cannot.
Like, that could be one of the ground rules. Like, you do not get to swallow.
But I need
protein. Super intimate. They're super intimate. You don't get to do it. So it was like a whole thing. And then in the middle of the conversation where he's like, you know, emotionally or in terms of, he thinks that I over-rationalize relationships, which I do. I have a very cynical view about relationships where it's like, yes, the whole lovey-dovey part is all chemical and then you hit a peak after combustion and it only subsides after that. And there better be some other shit there to kind of like, you know, hold the stuff together. And so I'm super rational. And apparently that's a problem because I end up just not dating because you'll say the one dumb thing. Like,
and then the Titanic
sinks. I
voted
for fucking Trump. And then it's like, oh, well, obviously this is not going anywhere.
Clearly.
So let's not. So we went over the whole thing. He said, well, you know, technically, he's like, you sound like someone who's been through like 5 divorces and just understands the way of life and how things just don't work out. And I'm like, yes, we're like having the same conversation. I don't know where you're missing. Like, we're having the same conversation. Yes, I am super cynical. And if people were a little bit more honest with each other, even, you know, I want to see other people too. Like, let's have a conversation. Give me the opportunity to make an educated decision as to whether it's worth my time or not. And his whole thing is, I think you should get a plant.
A plantain and do what?
Oh my God. Have you seen 2018?
Yes,
later?
I was going to say.
And do what? Make mango?
And he got his dog that hated him. I was like, I have I've had a cactus and it died on me. So no.
A cactus died on you?
Who kills a cactus?
What happened to that big ass cactus you had, Tom?
Did it die?
No, Captain Jack is still upstairs.
Okay.
It's upstairs. It's huge.
People keep giving me plants, and I don't know if this is like their whole, here's a living thing for you to care about. It's not like I don't care. I'm a very caring person, actually. But I'm just so cynical.
It's not about love. When you try to take care of plants, it's about connection, right? Plants can sense if you're a plant person, and if you're not, they just die.
Yeah, I kept roses when I was a child. It has nothing to do with inability to care.
She sure did, and they were all hanging upside down and dry as a bone.
All I said was roses, okay? I didn't say that they were alive. So yeah, that went on, no lie, it went on for maybe like an hour and a half, 2 hours, where he's like trying to get at this point where, and I'm conceding the point the entire time. I'm like, yes, no, yes, I know. I'm too cynical. Yes, I over-rationalize everything. Yes, I know
going.
That. And he's like trying to find an aha moment for me. He's a psychiatrist. And I'm like, it's not going to happen, bro. Like, I know how I am.
I hate it when people do that. I'm 32. I'm 30. Am I 32?
Somewhere around there.
I'm 32. 32? Yeah. Anyway, so.
You're a baby.
But like, then I have people coming up to me and they're like, you are so great. Like, you would be, I don't know why you're single. You have this, you like, know, great helps. Job. You're very good looking. You are very personable. Why are you single?
Are you applying for the job?
And I'm sitting here like, oh, what the fuck are you think, what? You right. think I want this for right. me?
Like, you're like, actively going around not wanting to date.
No, but there is something to be said about the fact that the people I pick are not the right people.
So they're all named Steven, that's that, why. Because I know that about myself. I like picking people that I have no future with so that I can say, I fucking try. It's his fault. And I know that. And it's super, super cynical because I know that about myself. Like, I will go after that one guy that I know ain't worth shit. And then, you know, it'll be lovely and we'll have a great time. And then he'll be stupid to the point where I'm like, not worth it anymore. And then I'll go around saying, I tried.
Yep.
The fact that he wasn't like life partner material, that's on him. Did I pick him knowingly? Yes, but that's besides the point.
Well, I think that kind of stems from some of my damage, right? So, like, I think there have been three men in my life that were, like, good, right? So, I think Matt was a good choice for me. I think Paul from Massachusetts was a great choice for me. And, like, we probably would still be together if I was older and more mature, right?
Right.
But I was not. And then the last one, I'm not even going to say the name. And it's not a Steve.
I was going to say, you know, it's fucking Steve.
It's not a Steve. But like, but I look at these relationships and I see how they like progress and then they just like disintegrate so quickly. And it's literally me being like, walls are going up. I'm protecting myself now. And I tear it to shreds.
Well, don't be so critical on yourself, right? Too. It's not like, you know, these individuals are like, you know, the top notch, I'm all lovey-dovey person.
Right.
And I mean, they have some issues too. I mean, I could tell you a couple.
You only know that now in retrospect. While you were in the relationship, you were who you were and you were in a period of growth. Mm-hmm. And you can only, in retrospect, really appreciate the fact that, oh, that could have been a great relationship had I been more mature, which happens to me. Like, I think we all have three men in our lives, or women, that we're, once you get to a certain, once we get to a certain age, where we're like, you know, had I been more mature, I definitely have three men in my life that I'm like, had I not been so immature, so cynical, so I just don't want, people theorize that I have a commitment problem. I don't think that I do. But anyway.
Runaway bride.
Did you just take a secret out of your hair and put it on the ground? Saying,
put it on the ground for nobody to see. Uh-huh. I love that. By the way, because I do that a lot.
Why is her hair so big, everybody?
Trish, it's all the secrets. I let one out today, so that was kind of, you know,
that
I
was
have a
big
ball
one.
Spot.
Uh-huh.
Oh my God.
I have a ball spot back here.
Esta pendeja, ta calma. Sorry.
But yeah.
I just said she was bald.
that was my Saturday where, you know, my girlfriend's husbands and or partners have a problem with the fact that I'm single and I do have the great job and I do, and there's the traveling and blah, blah, because they think that I'm trying to incept them into leaving them and coming to be single with me. No, I absolutely would love a partner to share my already happy life with. There are just certain compromises that I'm not willing to make. And as I say that, I understand that we do have to make compromises,
mm-hmm,
with all of our relationships, friendship, families, you know, prospective partners. There are some things that I'm not willing to yield to.
Like stupidity.
Like, especially stupidity. And they're very, like, I get turned off about really weird things. I don't know. It's just my whole concept of relationship is not very traditional and people do struggle with it. Like, I just want
to be buddies. Well, especially in our culture.
Especially in our culture. Like, my idea of a relationship is now you forget about the rest of your world and now you have to build a world together. Now, why can you have a great world and I have a great world and we share that world with those two worlds without having to get rid of them or have them convert into something else? Like, I think this is why couples are miserable, because they have to look at their face all freaking day and they don't give themselves the opportunity to miss each other and to interact with other people. Like, oh, you can't have friends if they're not my friends. Yeah, no. Like, if I say I'm getting on a plane with my girlfriends, that's what's gonna happen. Oh, even my guy friends, like, It's exhausting.
So exactly.
That was all of Saturday where he's like trying to make me like go into this path of self-discovery. And I'm like, I have a house on that path.
Like, I built a boat. I rode it across to the island.
That I rent to other people that want to come along for the ride. Like, I, yes, we're having the same conversation. So anyway, that was Saturday. And then and then yesterday I went to a birthday party for one of our coworkers. And our friend, the kind of is a homophobe but not really, ended up coming by, and that was like a good time. I think I like him.
I think I love you. So what am I so afraid of?
No. I can't deal with the whole
girlfriend thing.
No, like yes, no, but like if somebody
like you like him in a friendly way, not in a
no. I don't know. I think no.
I'll see.
Yeah, no. I felt it. I felt it coming
a little
from
bit.
You.
Yeah, a little
I felt
bit.
It coming from you the day there, you were the first time you were talking about.
Because
it.
There was a reason why. I was conflicted.
She was annoyed.
I was conflicted. At the fact I'm that she like, liked him. You make
me want to kill everybody, but I don't want to be without you.
I'm upset that I have to admit that I like you, but potentially maybe like you. But then you're like a Trump supporter, not even a Republican, because, you know, political values are what they are. But for you to tell me specifically that, yes, you're voting for Trump, like I have a problem with that. And I was telling my mother about that.
My gosh, she really likes this guy.
No, I don't. Anyway.
Don't roll your eyes.
And she goes, she says, because my mother's another one who's like obsessed with my being, my spinsterhood. It's becoming upsetting to her.
I'm still getting over the fact that you mentioned that, you know, the skin disappears when you go riding horses. That traumatized me. I was walking down the hallway at work and I'm like, Elsie, are you serious? And she goes like, it's a piece of skin. And I'm like,
yeah, yes. That happens to a lot of women.
It does. And my point is exactly that. You're going to degrade me to what that skin piece of skin is. And it is, I can't. You don't want that rant again. But yeah.
No, I was traumatized. Like I was walking down the hall. I was thinking,
it means I
was
nothing.
I was listening to the show in my ear and the comment came into my ear and I was just like, oh my God, this bitch, I forgot she said that, but oh my God, I'm still shocked about it. And so I sent her a message and I'm like, are you fucking serious? Like I text her and I said, what the fuck?
That is how worthless the hymen is for people to say to, especially in our cultures, for people to say to women that that's all you're worth as a woman.
That is, anyway, but yeah.
Nobody tells the little boys that when they get circumcised.
Oh, God, sick. That is terrible. I wish I never got circumcised.
Well, we didn't have a choice in that matter.
Anyway,
did we?
So yeah, that happened. And then I don't like anybody.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's nothing wrong
not
with that.
Trump supporters.
So speaking of Trump supporters and stuff, I spent my weekend in mourning. Yeah, Saturday.
I know.
Saturday.
That
so,
was rough.
So the South Carolina primaries were on Saturday. And of course, you know, Pete Buttigieg, who I absolutely love. I just think the world of the man. And he did such an amazing thing in putting himself out there and his husband to the scrutiny and all of that good stuff. To the point where, you know, it's like it's disheartening to see what a lot of people and especially people in our own community would go as far as doing to put a bit man down like
that to me. What that entire thing
queers
was
against Pete. I was just like, come on, really? Like, so it was like, how gay does he have to be before you realize that what the man did was truly historic? And
he was a front runner, for Christ's sake.
He won the first contest of the season. And so
it's not a contest.
It was a caucus.
I just can't stand it when you hear like it's turning into a reality TV show and it makes me crazy.
But like, that's like, exactly what it is.
No, I know, but it makes me crazy because that's not what it should be. But
who was it that called it that? One of them called it that. Was his face?
It was most likely Bloomberg.
This week's contest is, and if you do it right, you get $500 to Dave and Buster's, and you get the rose. Like, fuck that! Are you kidding me? Like, this is.
I think it was him that called it a contest, and he had that little slip of the tongue where he was like, "I bought those politicians." He goes, "I mean, I supported them."
So, you know, I was pretty bummed. I was pretty bummed. And, you know, I went to work Saturday and, you know, coronavirus is happening. We've got several reported cases in the U.S. The president still, for whatever reason, still thinks it's only 15. But in reality, there are over 70 cases now in the U.S.
More than that.
There's one that was just, you know, announced in Rhode Island, another one in New York City. And so, you know, it's going to start spreading.
And didn't we have our first death, too, this weekend?
Two
individuals died in the state of Washington. Both individuals were obviously older in age. And therefore, you know, as Dr. G explained, you know, if you have a compromised immune system, this could potentially be very lethal for you.
And so, of course, Tom put out a PSA.
So I did. I put out a PSA on Facebook and I'm like, listen, for the immediate future, I'm not hugging anybody. I'm not kissing anybody. I'm not
He meant it. Totally, like, air kissed me today.
I air kissed everyone. And so let me tell you, Saturday when I walk into work, people are walking, hey, Tommy, and they're walking and they're trying to come behind them. We're like, eh, hard stomp. No, I'm not doing any PDAs. I'm sorry.
I respect that, though, because that, to me, is like,
people were hurt.
Like, because people make everything.
So I have to tell you, you know, I'm a hugger. I love hugging people. I'm all about the human experience and contact. But I'm also respecting you and loving you and loving myself when I'm trying to protect you and all of us in just making a smart choice and just say, you know what, guys? We don't know what this is yet. We don't know what damage this can cause, how bad this can get. Let's take care of each other. And let's do that in a way that, you know, still allows us to have healthy relationships, but it doesn't necessarily have to be physical.
Oh my God, he means business.
I do. And
what if, okay.
So I'll tell you what this bitch did to me at the bar yesterday. I asked her for a bottled water. She puts it on the counter, grabs the bottle opener, and pushes the water towards me like, bitch, I know you didn't want me to touch it. I was like, you cunt.
Hey, I also gave you a hug. I also gave you a hug.
She did. She forced a hug on me. And so,
no, when you weren't paying attention.
I was singing. She just came over in my back and just hugged me. And then she started laughing. I was like, bitch. But you know, and so to all the people out there that came to the bar either yesterday or Saturday and tried hugging me and I sort of kind of pushed you back, it's nothing against you. I love you. I love me too. And all I'm trying to do is, you know, just stay safe and let's be logical about what's going on. And until we know more, be safe.
Oh, my God. Are you, like, not even going to want me in the studio when I come back from my trip?
Maybe not.
I just thought of that.
I think I might have to quarantine you in the bathroom. I'll throw your microphone in there and you can talk from there. Fuck that shit. So she's going away, too. She's going to Mexico, right?
Yes.
And
I bought my ticket pre-crisis.
Yes.
Not that it would have stopped me.
No, of course not. And like Dr. G said, you know, live your life. You'll just go out there and do that. If you're young, not too young, and you're healthy, then, you know, you may have nothing to worry about. Just be careful. If you're running around with pre-existing conditions and you're, you know, subject to chronic diseases, that, you know, you really should take precautions and do what you need to do to make sure that you're safe. And so anyway, I was going through this whole depressing thing and people not hugging me was making me really sad because I know they wanted to and I wanted to too. And I just couldn't bring myself to put anyone at risk without knowing anything. And so then Pete Buttigieg announced that he was, you know, so it was weird because a Saturday primary happened. On Sunday, they had all met. Pete Buttigieg had met with, like, Amy Klobuchar and all the candidates that they had met.
She also dropped out today.
She did. And they, you know, they had met earlier in that day along with his husband. They all marched across the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama, to commemorate the 55th anniversary of the Bloody Sunday, which is when police and, you know, officials attacked protesters that were walking from Selma to Montgomery to fight for voting rights. And so, John Lewis, who has been in Congress forever, he was part of the original people that marched on the bridge, in the Edmund Pettus Bridge, was supposed to arrive. He's suffering from pancreatic cancer. He's been in and out of Congress, in and out of treatment. And so it was a big thing. And then it just I realized that I was watching a historic moment in where I'm watching everyone congregate and they're about to start walking. And I notice that Pete Buttigieg is there with his husband. And now it wasn't
it didn't, you know, like, I immediately started, like, saying to myself, like, wow, this is the Deep South. We all know how religion can play a role in how people are viewed. And you have a gay man who's running for president and his husband is there and they're about to walk over this bridge where 55 years ago, you know, many members of the black community walked over that bridge for the right to vote. And we have a gay man and his husband walking over that bridge. And it was just like so touching. And I started crying and I was saying to myself, I'm a gay man and never in my life, I thought that I would see something like this, see a man run for president that was openly gay, married. And that is very impactful. Or see a small child walk up to a president and say, or a presidential candidate and say, can you help me in coming out? You know, it's like, you may not be a contender for the presidency anymore, but what you've done will change the course of history for the LGBT community and many younglings for years to come. And I expect great things from him, you know?
And before the extremists lose their mind over you comparing gay rights to civil rights in general, gay rights are civil rights.
Yes.
And it is very, very relevant.
Yeah.
Because it's civil rights. I've never understood how people can separate
my civil rights for yours.
One human civil rights for another one. Yeah. None of them are important. And this is the equality conversation that I try to have all the time. Like, civil rights are civil rights. And it was momentous for him to be there with his husband.
And that was not
commemorating a civil rights. Right.
You know, and then later that evening at 8:30 p.m., all the way from his home, hometown in South Bend, Indiana, he made the announcement. His husband actually introduced him and they kissed on stage. And it was just overall, it's just like I get chills just talking about the momentous campaign that this man ran. And both Klobuchar and Buttigieg have left the race, but they've endorsed Joe Biden. And we'll see how Uncle Joe fares against the Bernie machine.
So on a lighter note, Chasten Buttigieg.
I love him.
He tweeted out today, so I can just, like, go to Target now. I was like, fucking yes.
I love him. I think he's just such a smart guy, such a homie.
He would have made a good first husband.
Yes. Yeah.
So I can just, like, go to Target now.
Oh my God, there would have been killer Christmas decorations in the house this year.
No, because remember, he's not gay enough.
So that's right. So, but anyway, so that was my weekend. And then I worked, of course. And today we're doing the show for you. So, we do have one story. So I'm going to toss it over to Nick so he can talk about this.
I don't know if I want to talk about it.
We have to because, I mean, you have her nephew literally like.
Oh my God, my nephew's listening to the show.
So, not to bring up Frozen again.
Oh my fucking God.
Let it go.
Please let it go.
I'm not really bringing up Frozen. But anyway, so we actually got this story. I saw this before Mama Kim sent it to us, but Mama Kim sent it to us, so I'm going to give her credit. So Frozen songwriters creating a movie musical based on a kid's book about a genderqueer prince. So this is a Disney-based movie that's being made.
I'm still mad at Disney for kicking out Simon and Love, Simon?
Love, Simon.
Series?
Yeah, no, I am too. So it was funny because this came out right after that article came out, and it was like kind of like I don't know if it was a Hail Mary to like, let's release this now because now this has been released, like we got to fix our image. Here's my problem. So I think it's great that they are releasing a story about a genderqueer prince, but the story is about a prince who, doesn't identify as really any gender, which is great and beautiful. Sometimes they feel like they can wear men's clothes and it's great. And sometimes they feel like it doesn't work. And again, that's great. In this story, which I have not read, so if I misquote myself, I'm sorry. He befriends one of the high fashion dressmakers.
Of course he did.
And this then story,
or
you know,
they.
This story then builds upon that, and they have this like great friendship that blossoms. I'm not sure how it ends up. But when I said, I want to see a gay prince, I want to see a gay prince who may have a dressmaker as a best friend, but falls in love with a man and kisses a man on screen.
Uh-huh.
And I think that that is really important. I think that, yeah, this story is really important, and it is a kid's story, and I think it's important to hear, and I'm really excited by the concept of it. But I also think that...
it leaves you wanting more.
But beyond that, it's like, let me see two men kissing and falling in love, two princes falling in love, and let that be okay. Let me see two princesses falling in love and let that
really,
be okay.
You elitist bastard, why can one of them not be a fucking prince? Maybe one of them fine. Works at the fucking factory.
And that's and fine too. You want a Cinderella story in this? That's fine too. I'm just saying, let's...
we've already talked about the whole subliminal messages of the freaking Disney movies, and here we are. Let's go do it again. Come
no,
for it.
I just think it's important that we, yes, highlight that this person is non-binary, gender queer, but I also think that it's important that this character fall in love with someone of the same mindset.
And this is why we're going to pitch Han's story to Disney, because there's totally a kiss there between a prince and his very, very poor, also Ray. Yes. Right
that is
there.
A picture from that book.
And we are, I love that picture, by the way. And we should totally, Hans, if you hear me, we need to pitch this to Disney.
So,
for do it for Trish.
Yeah, no, I just like, I mean, like, I, you know, and I'm coming from a place of, you know, I grew up watching and crying and loving all of these like heterosexual love stories in Disney and never seeing any representation for the gay community. And yes, this is representation, but this I feel like is almost like a representation without, honestly,
without commitment.
Right. Like, and like, yeah. Yes, this individual is genderqueer, and that is important to highlight, but I want to see representation of two people falling in love because they love each other, but they're the same sex, or they're transgender, like, or they're two women that fall in love. Like, yes,
it needs to be said.
Yeah, like,
and it needs to be done. But this is why it's very important to support people like, for example, Tony Arderlino and Far, Far and Away. It was a project that we covered here on the show not too long ago, and where he was doing this whole live action Disney-esque, you know, story behind that incorporated transgender characters and lesbian characters and gay characters. And we really need to support gay artists making gay stories, because then they're told the way they're supposed to. And if we're going to rely on Disney and 100 million freaking crazy moms over here to tell a story, it's always going to get a watered down, diluted version of what they expect, you know, people will tolerate from the gay community. And we can't stand for that anymore.
And so the whole having a wholesome story, because, of course, nobody wants their kids exposed to overly sexual material.
No.
You know what I mean? There's an age and a time for those kinds of conversations. But, and I was having this conversation actually today about Han's book.
Oh, Hans.
I'm a fan. With one of my coworkers, actually, because she was asking about my reading list. And in my queue, I have Han's other children's book that I have to go through. What a story that is wholesome, where you don't have to necessarily even mention the word homosexual or gays. You know what I mean? You can have a story to Nick's point where it's cute and it's sweet, like the Disney stories where you have same gender couples just falling in love without all the overtly sexual, you know, material, so that parents can provide a way for their children to ask questions about sexuality in a safe space where they're going to get the information from someone who cares about them, their parents, and they're not going to hear it from other people outside that will not convey the information in a way that it's appropriate for their children. And this is what I think this sort of material will do. On top of, you know, the fact that it will be representative of so many people in the world, you know, and it'll make younger kids feel like, oh, there is nothing wrong with me, you know, because I like boys and girls or boys or girls and I'm a boy or a girl. But it allows the 7-year-old who has a crush on his little boyfriend from school to be able to ask their parents, you know, well, I kind of feel like this sometimes. Is that okay? And now the parent hopefully is not a raging asshole.
Yeah.
Which is important.
That's the important part.
Which is important.
Right.
Can then have a safe conversation with their child and start, again, having normative conversation about sexuality and that it is, in fact, okay for you to love who you love.
Yeah.
And Trish are going to have kids when?
When I was reading this story.
I know. We need to bring some fucking kids into this world for that purpose.
But when I was reading this story, it kind of, what triggered for me is like, I think, again, I don't want to minimize the importance of this movie that's being made. I think it's really important. I think it's very powerful to say you can be who you want to be, you can wear what you want to wear, and that is very powerful in itself, because there are a lot of young boys out there, not saying I did this, but that put pink curlers in their hair and that want to dress up and feel feminine. And I think that's great. And I think that's empowering. And I think that's important. But there's this element of, and it brought me right to this moment of the Pete Buttigieg, well, how am I going to explain to men kissing to my kids? You know what I mean? Like, how do I explain
men kissing women? It's equally sexual.
Right. But then people still, they had to ask that question. How do I explain this? And wow. I feel like
in all reality, it was racist.
Hold on. I feel like it's like they shot and they missed. It's like you had this moment to say, you know, like you had this moment to go all out and say, not only can you wear and be and do whatever you want, but you can love whoever you want as well.
Right. Who shot and missed that?
Disney.
Oh, of course.
I think that's where I'm coming from. I think that, again, this story is very important, and that you can be as a child and wear whatever you want or be whoever you want. But Disney, once again, they shot and they missed. They could have gone to the place where all of that audience you serve, which is every fucking American child and beyond, you could have created a platform where those kids that are sitting in middle of America that are, maybe they don't want to dress like a girl, but maybe they do have feelings for the best friend.
And you're right. You're right. I think that's important. And I think that, again, you know, Disney needs to do better. You know, I know that you're trying to be cautious. You're trying to sort of kind of ride the melting ice of that, you know, forever slow glacier. But, you know, it's at some point you just got to rip the Band-Aid off.
You really do. And if you look at all of their other shows, kids engage in inappropriate behavior all the time in Disney movies and Disney shows.
And even in real life, kids do know more than they let on.
Yes. And so to Nick's point, why not take the leap? Mm-hmm. Why not? Let us see something that, one, provides the representation for the young boy and the young girl who is watching this, but also opens the door for parents to have conversations with kids in a safe space, and where that when they're not using the word have to tolerate them because they're different, because the whole point is that they're not different. People's sexuality does not make them different.
Yeah, and like to leave it up to imagination, right? You're going to just leave, like, it's never in it, what it says here is like, in the book, Prince Sebastian is gender queer, gender fluid, but it's never labeled, which feels right for his self-conception and or era. And here I am like, okay, that's great, but
you're
missing the mark. Missing the mark in the sense of like, all right, well, let's not think that we're shaping minds here. Let's not leave this up for interpretation for young kids. Let's give them a story that shows them representation of something that's really impactful right now.
Let's make it clear.
Yeah.
This is, listen, it's 20 motherfucking 20. We've had the right to marry in this country for 5 years, or actually this June it'll be 5 years. We need to get over it at this point. Like, seriously. Like, yeah, that's like, are we still talking about this, you know, half a decade later?
How is this a thing? Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
So, I mean, there are some really, we could talk about this for hours. There are some really important things within the story. I mean, with the pressures from his family and all of that, I think it's really important to highlight the fact that no matter what age you are, when parents assume or feel a certain way about their child and have their own opinions, they then put pressures on their kids. And that is something that I think is really important to highlight for not only kids, but for parents. And I think this story will do that. But there's far more and far more representation that needs to be seen, frankly, for the safety of the future of the LGBTQ youth.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And I will be hopeful, though, that this will at least promote some conversation with parents and their younger kids.
Yeah.
You know, about we really are not all the same. And no, you don't have to tolerate me. This is what it is. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not like a thing, a nuance that you have to tolerate, because that word, I went to a seminar about 15 years ago, at the University of Indiana. Please don't ask me why I was there.
That's okay. Middle America.
And we were talking about race, which, you know, it's always been a discussion. And he was talking about a children's book that talked about a little lamb that was pink. And I like to think that there was double meaning to, because the little lamb could have been yellow or could have been any color, but the little lamb was pink, right?
You remind me of
the meme.
No, not the meme, but the movie Sister Act 2. Why are you harping her? Because you don't know Mary had a little lamb. Maybe Mary had a dog. Or
where she's from. Right. Maybe it was a chicken.
But anyway, go ahead.
But he made a very strong point, and I believe firmly that I was super fortunate to have witnessed that lecture. His conversation was about how we start shaping our children's mind at that such a young age, where probably no kid was ever going to look at that lamb and say, well, why are you pink? You know what I mean? Because the kid would have grown up around this lamb.
That was pink.
And it was pink. And, well, we have all kinds of colors in our herd. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, his mom is a black sheep and the dad was like a white one. And, I mean, we don't go around talking shit about albinos. You know? I mean, some of us do, but that's a different story. The point is that he made the point that we start using the word tolerate and different, and it's okay to you know what I mean? As opposed to this is just what it is.
But we also start using the word race and black and white and brown when we learn it.
Right.
Kids, there are plenty of examples where there are young kids that are best friends and they think of each other as brothers or sisters until society pushes on them. Well, no, actually, he's from this culture and you're from this culture, so you're not.
Yeah, we do this to kids, and those are the conversations that I have. Like, don't engage in speech that implants that in your child's mind, that there are differences that should be relevant to their relationship, given their background, given their, I don't know, cultural composition.
The whole idea that you have to date someone from your own race.
Right, we do that from very
God early forbid on. A Puerto Rican and a Dominican ever got together.
Oh, no.
We make beautiful babies, by the way.
We do.
Yeah.
This is don't very touch me, true. Corona. You almost touched me, Tommy.
I know, I did.
Just don't fucking touch
me. I had to take it back. And no, but you know, it is what it is. And, you know, Disney, you can do better. And we're going to obviously expect better.
You do. This is good. I want more.
It's a new decade.
Right. Thank you for saying that, because it is good. It is good, and it will definitely, I hope that parents understand the value in exposing the children to you know, these kinds of words. And the fact that it will give them the opportunity to have a safe conversation with their child about humans.
Yeah. And my own personal PSA is life isn't a fairy tale. So, yes, we are advocating for a story like this because it gives representation. But no matter what we see on film or stage, life is definitely not a fairy tale. And you have to acknowledge that when you when you move forward, because maybe you will find your prince or your princess or your gender fluid individual. But the reality is, life isn't a fairy tale, and we want these stories for representation, but let's not feed into them too much.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah, we want the representation because somewhere in middle America or in the South or in the North or all around the world, there's little boys and little girls that are looking for that spark in life to realize that they're not alone. There's nothing wrong with them.
To feel validated and to understand that there is nothing wrong with
them. That's right. That's right. And so if you can, as an artist, produce something that can spark that, you're going to change a lot of lives for the better. And we're more better for it as a result. And we thank you for it. And for those who have done the work, who do the work, that continue to try to create art that's inclusive of everyone and show the world that there's nothing wrong with who we are, we applaud you. You are amazing. You are titans in my eyes.
Preach.
Yes, queen. All right, so listen, we need to wrap this up. Obviously, it's been a very long show. We want to thank Dr. G and everyone for being here, but we have to sort of kind of do what we got to do. So we're going to move it on to, of course, Trish, who's going to help us out with Mama Kim's Minute. Let me get this timer going because I always seem to fuck this shit up. And you let me know when you're ready, and we'll go.
All right, everybody. Here's Mama Kim's Less Than a Minute. All right. Number one, dad goes viral for tweeting about trans son's party to celebrate transition. Proud of you.
Yeah.
Number two, Supreme Court will decide if foster agencies can discriminate against gay couples.
You better make the right choice, bitch.
Number three, arena full of basketball fans burst into applause when Zaya Wade is shown on the Jumbotron. Woo! Number four, what makes a man? Across generations, photographers have provided
eclectic answers.
You got that better than I did. Eclectic answers. Holy shit.
I'm on my game today.
I'm like,
she choked on.
Eclipser.
I'm like, I don't know what this word is. Ah, eclectic answers. So yeah, that's Mama Kim's Minute.
So, so very quickly, Zaya Wade, that is the daughter of basketball star
Kobe.
No, it's not Kobe.
I don't know sports.
Stop.
Why would you say basketball to me?
Stop.
Wait, let me text my friend Nikki. She'll tell me.
I got it right here. Calm down.
Yeah.
I don't know sports. Don't blame us.
So Dwayne Wade and Gabrielle Union are the parents of this beautiful transgender child. And I have nothing but love for these two individuals who are just providing this beautiful young soul a life that they'll never forget, and parents that are just absolutely fucking amazing.
That is amazing, but I do want to say, Tommy, who the fuck are you trying to kid? You could have said Gabrielle. You don't know sports either. Stop trying to butch it up.
Oh, she's nasty. I'll cut her.
All right.
But anyway, but that's who Zaya Wade is, and that's awesome. I think it's beautiful. So, gay talk term, Miss Elsie.
This was kind of hard for me today. I went through three.
Uh-huh. But obviously you giggled on one, so I was like, that's it.
No, that was my first one. And then I went through, I went to, the next one, and then I'm like, oh, I think I'm a baby butch. But that's not even the term I picked.
Okay. So, ladies and gents, this gay talk term, of course, is brought to you by
GayRealEstate.com.
Elsie's not by. Oh, she touched me.
Ew, you touched me.
Corona. Anyway. Elsie?
Bagpipe?
Okay. I'm scared now. Go for it.
To copulate the armpit of a partner until an ejaculation is reached, considered peculiar to the homoerotic subculture. He's a real case of bagpiping, guys, with a big hairy armpit.
Bagpiping. So basically, like just instead of titty fucking, your armpit fucking?
It's like apparently there's a thing because there's a gay term for it.
So I got to tell you very quickly.
No, let's go.
No.
No, I don't want to hear about your bagpiping.
No, I'm not bagpiping, but I am putting something in my armpits that you need to hear about. So Echo Body, it's a new all natural skincare regimen, brought to you by none other than Candace Dorman. She is the host of the Breathing Moms podcast, which is hosted right here in the same studio and also promoted on digital stream radio. She's going to come on our show to talk about her products, and she's bringing gifts for everyone. They're amazing. I've been trying her all natural deodorant for 4 days now. No funk, no stink. That shit works, and it's all natural.
But you don't have to sit next to him, though. Is it also an antiperspirant? Because that's kind of like what I...
I can't answer.
It's winter.
I'm not sweating.
This is true.
I'm not sweating. And it's... I don't smell nothing. It's just amazing. It's mint. It's got tea tree oil, tarot root. It's all natural. All natural products. It's fucking amazing. She's going to come on the show and talk about that. So I just need to throw that out there. Love you, Candace. Thank you for all the freebies. They're amazing. I'm buying some more because that shit works.
All right, everybody. So on this day in gay history, of course, brought to you by
GayRealEstate.com.
Australia elects its first openly gay senator. When? March 2nd, 1996. Where? Australia. Bob Brown, representing Tasmania,
okay,
is elected to the Australian Senate.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Zanzibar. You can't get there in a car. Zanzibar is way too far. Zanzibar, they grow groundnuts. People who grow them live in huts. And Zanzibar is sugar cane to grow it. They need lots of rain.
Okay, so capital of Australia.
It's the Kiwi. Wait,
it
no.
Is not.
That's Cabrera. What New Zealand's flag.
Cabrera.
This is like a town in the R.
What it could be. No, but it's actually it's one of the younger capitals in the world.
Yes.
It was established very I would probably say maybe around 50 years ago.
Yeah, well, you know,
it's fairly young.
It's history.
Yeah.
It was kind of like a dumping ground for anything any other nation didn't want, and so they had a rough start.
Yeah.
In legitimizing themselves as a country.
but they're amazing nonetheless. So
yeah, that's right.
And they've gone through so many things with, you know, all these fires and stuff, and it's good to see that they're all out and that they're focusing on recovery and taking care of those beautiful animals and koala bears and all those kangaroos. And
Zanzibar is actually in Tanzania. I know. I fucked that up.
Yeah, but that's okay. You started singing.
I thought you were joking because you said that like three times before the show.
No, because I looked at it quickly. It's Tasmania.
Uh-huh.
And I was thinking of Tanzania.
But anyway. Zanzibar,
just, yeah. You can't get that in a car. Yeah.
Well, that's
unless
true.
Unless it's mine. I bet you my car will get you there.
Not with the gas mileage.
The gas mileage.
And not with her driving. She don't even know how to push the buttons. But anyway, if you love the show, make sure that you go subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcasting service. By doing so, you get the latest and greatest of our show delivered right to your web browser or your favorite device as soon as the episodes are published. You can also support us on Patreon, which allows you, our listeners, to support the show with a monetary donation. Those donations can be in any denomination of a dollar or more, and we collect those monthly, and we're super appreciative of the fact that you help us out. I did change this before, but Elsie, did you want to read this next sentence
for Chris?
Uh-huh.
I do. Next week, it's all about the dish, a full episode of Top Stories for the Week.
That's right. And Elsie won't be here with us next week, but you know what? We'll make it work. We're gonna miss
Delta
her.
Delta will make me late. I know this, and I don't want to sabotage yourself.
Yeah, she's going
myself.
On the trip.
Myself. So. Ourselves?
Ourselves.
All of us.
All of us, yes.
All right. So thank you to, of course, our guest, Dr. G, for joining us. We truly love your cyber love.
We do.
All right, everybody. So don't forget, you can get your discount for the Future Method today. Each time you clean out with water or enemas, delicate tissues are harmed and cells are damaged, increasing chances of injury and or STDs. The first of its kind, doctor-developed formula and that gently cleanses before you play without hurting your bum. And now you can use code GAYTALK20 for 20% off, valid for one purchase or on subscription per person.
So we were supposed to do a pre-recording about this, and I'm like, I refused to do it because I just love hearing him read it and stumble through it. Especially when
I don't stumble through it that bad.
A couple of shots.
He's thinking of me.
Yeah, pretty much. And it's always fun. Elsie,
watch me get this right. Our show is available.
No, you already messed up.
You bitch.
Putting a rubber on it.
Let's put a fucking rubber on it.
All right, let's
okay,
go.
Okay, let's
well,
do it.
Well, now I'm going to mess it up, for real. I need to stop doing that. Our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com.
.com.
I hate you so much, Trish.
Sorry, I was staring.
Our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com, under show and episodes. It is also available as a free download on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher Radio.
Nailed it. Nick announces you can find us on social media, Facebook, Gay Talk 2.0, Instagram, Gay Talk 2.0, Twitter, at Gay Talk 20. You can email us at gaytalk2.0@gmail.com. Tom, take it away.
I have to say that she has like the sexiest like phone sex voice ever. I've always said that about her, and I love it.
1-800.
Uh-huh.
1-800, Tom, take it away.
Where am I? Let's see. If you need to reach out to us, just head on over to our website, click on the Contact Us tab, located at the top of your web browser. There you can leave comments, you can suggest topics, submit a question for the cast or an individual host, or you can leave us a voice message with your questions. We'll answer those for you on the show. The phone number is 334-GAY-TALK, and if you need those digits, it is 334-429-8255. Don't forget that we do stream live every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you can access that live stream by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. With that, ladies and gents, that is our show. Thank you, and y'all have a good night.
Bye!
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more Dish.